Begin the current daf Masechta, the Sukkah daf Yud Aleph. Begin two lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, there was a version of what Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel, which now the Gemara will bring a different version of that. Now, what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel Halacha was saying was regarding the discussion of the Halacha of the previous daf, regarding someone that's sleeping in a canopy, a bed that has a covering with a sheet over it, inside a Sukkah. Now, that the Mishnah differentiated between different types of canopies, if that will be considered its own oil, so therefore you're sleeping in the oil, not in the sukkah, or not. Now, regarding a case where there's a flat cover, which means it has four poles, and then there's a flat cover which has some type of a roof over one's bed, and that the Mishnah explained, as it was elucidated in the Brisa, that is a case of kinoifis, which would be pasul even if it's less than 10 fachim above the bed. That would still be considered an oil and will invalidate the person that's sleeping underneath, that he's not considered sleeping in the sukkah, but rather in the oil. Now, that Shmuel had explained, differentiated, as the Gemara ultimately explained his halacha, that however, regarding a kila, which is not as kavu, as permanent, as the kinoifis, if that's less than 10 fachim, even though it has the same type of a roof, of a canopy, as the kinoifis, it will be kosher if it's less than 10 fachim and will not be considered an oil. Now, in that, the Gemara brings a different version, which ultimately will come out a similar type of halacha, that also, since this kila is not as permanent, it will be kasher, but it will be the exact opposite of what Shmuel had said in the first version. That is, Lashon Acher Amri La. They said a different version of Amar Yehuda Meshmuel. Mutar Lishon Bekilas Chasan Besukkah. One is allowed to sleep in a bridal canopy in the sukkah, which is not like other types of canopies. Now here it's going to be the converse of what was said in the first version. And that is, the first version said that although it has a roof, but if it's not 10 tefachim high, then it's going to be kosher and won't be a problem. Here the bridal canopy is the flip side of that. And that is, lefish ein lo gag, since it doesn't have a roof, because although it goes around the bed, over the bed, but the roof is slanty, like the case of Nakliten, which has only two sticks, one at the front of the bed and one at the foot, which then that has a pole connecting them, and therefore it's slanty. There's no roof that's flat of a tefach. So here also, by the bridal canopy, there is no roof, and therefore, av b'shegvaya asar, even though it's 10 tefachim high, it still will not be a problem of sleeping in this thing inside the sukkah, because you're not in oil, since it doesn't have a gag tefach. So again, it's taking the flip side of the other version of what Shmuel had said there, that there was a roof, but it's lower than 10 tefachim, hence it will be kosher. Here it's saying that even if it higher than 10 tefachim, and since it doesn't have a roof, it will be kosher. Which ultimately, the Gemara will have the same chiddush, with the same questions that are being asked on Shmuel, that it's because these cases of kilois, whether it has a roof but it's not 10 tefachim high, or it is 10 tefachim high but it doesn't have a roof, that since it's not as permanent, if it doesn't have one of the two components, it will not be considered an oil and will not invalidate the one sleeping inside of it. Meisver, the Gemara asked from a brayis on this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, where it says, Hayashin bekila besukkah, if someone sleeps in the canopy in the sukkah, lo yatzadei chavasa, he's not fulfilled his obligation. So how could Shmuel say that you could sleep in a canopy in the sukkah? And that the Gemara says, Hachmayiskin b'sheyesh lagag. What's it talking about over here? Although it's talking about that it's higher than 10 tefachim, but there's no roof. And therefore, in this case, where it has a roof, that's why the Brice is saying it's going to be possible, but it's not questionable on what Shmuel is saying when there is no roof. Tashma, we learned the Brice that says, Nakliten Shnaim. When our Mishnah mentioned that if one sleeps in the canopy that's Nakliten, it's kosher, it's talking about that there's only two poles. B'kinevis arba, however, the case where it says if you sleep in it, it's going to be pasul, that's tomorrow when there's four poles, which is pierce agab b'kinevis psula. If you spread a cloth on top of the kinevis, it's going to be pasul because that's a regular oil that you're sleeping in because it has four poles and therefore it's a flat roof. Agab Nakliten kasher, but if it's on top of these Nakliten type of poles, which are only two, hence it's going to be slanted, there is no roof, then it's going to be kosher. Ubuvad, the Brice, however, qualifies this halach of the Mishnah that it'll be kosher naklit nishlayi naklit and gavoyim and amita asar tefachim. As long as the naklit are not above a height of 10 tefachim from the bed, only then will we say that since it doesn't have roof, it's going to be kosher. Now the question is, ha gavoyim and amita asar psula, but if it is 10 tefachim higher than the bed, even though it's a case of naklitin, it will be possible af bishen logag, even though there's no roof. That clearly contradicts what Shmuel is saying in this version, that if it doesn't have a roof, even if it's higher than 10 tefachim, it will be kosher. And that the Gemara says, Shani Nakliten Nikvi. Nakliten are different because they're permanent. And since they're permanent, although there's no roof, if it's higher than 10 tefachim, it will be invalid. Now the Gemara asks, Ikvi, if you tell me there's permanence to the Nakliten, then lahavik kineifis. Then this should be just like the case of kineifis, where there's four poles, and it should be invalid even if it's less than 10 tefachim, because it has permanence, and therefore it's considered an oil even less than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara answers no. Lagabe kineifis lekevi. In contrast to the kineifis, it's not permanent to be chashav like it, to be puzzled even if it's less than 10 tefachim. Lagabe ki lekevi. And the reason why it's not permanent, it's not the same as it is with having four poles. It just has two poles. So therefore, it will not be invalid less than 10 tefachim. But lagabe ki lekevi, but in regards to the case of kila that Shmuel's talking about, that there is permanence, and therefore it's somewhere in the middle. So therefore, since if it has a height of 10 tefachim, then it will be invalid, even though it doesn't have a roof. But that's not question on Shmuel's halacha, the case of kila, that even when there is a height of 10 tefachim, but since there's no roof, therefore by this kila's chasanim, it will be kasher. So that's this middle type of ground. And again, this is essentially what's the chiddush of Shmuel in both versions, that the case of kila is not kavua. And therefore it's not kavua, so hence, either if it has a roof, but it's less than 10 tefachim, it's going to be kasher. Or if it doesn't have a roof, even if it's higher than 10 tefachim, it will be kasher. And that's the two different versions of Shmuel. However, Darush Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, he argues on this halacha of Shmuel. And he says, Mutalisha Mekila, one is allowed to sleep in the Kila canopy, Afapisha Yesh Lagag, even if it has a roof, and Afapisha Gvayasar, even if it's higher than 10 tefachim, has both components. Now the Gemara says, come on, who is this like? This seems to be everything that an oil would seem to be, hence you would not be sleeping in a sukkah. Why is that kasher? Now the Gemara says, he's going like Rabbi Yehuda, Dama, that he says, Loyosi oil aroi umavatal oyekeva. A temporary oil, yes, it is considered an oil because it has a roof and it's higher than 10 tefachim, has all the requisite dimensions. However, it's temporary. It's just a bed. Now, a temporary oil cannot nullify the oil that you're in that has permanence. Therefore, we don't see you in this oil. We see you in the permanent oil. There's now, like, learn in the Mishnah later on, the Chaf and the Beis that says, Armei Bihuda. We always used to sleep under the bed in front of the elders, and they didn't tell us anything. They weren't bothered by that. Now, the reason is because a bed, in contrast to a sukkah, is considered a temporary aisle because you move a bed from place to place when you need it. You don't leave it out all night. At nighttime, you bring it out, then you move it. Hence, we see this idea by Rabbi Yehuda that an oil arai, although it's an oil, will not consider it that you're not in the sukkah, which has a kfiyas in contrast to the bed. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that's where he's coming from, so then, b'leim halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't he just say clearly the halacha Rabbi Yehuda? Then we would know this halacha that he's telling us. Now, the Gemara says, iyam halacha Rabbi Yehuda, had he only said that the Rabbi Rav Huna, regards to this halacha, that halacha Rabbi Yehuda, sahava mina hanemila mitzas, I would have only known the halacha that we know from him, that he says later on, daf chafam abeis, regards to a bed. Now, maybe there, you would say that it was kosher, because de la gaba, so what's a bed meant for? A bed is meant for what's on top of it, which is to sleep on it. But what's underneath it is not considered prominent or one of the primary features of a bed. For it to be considered as an oil, it's not an oil, it just happens to be empty space underneath a bed. Therefore, it doesn't have, quote, the name oil to say that now it will be considered as an invalidating factor. And therefore, the reason why that it's kosher to sleep underneath a bed is not because the oil that's there is aroi, rather because it's not an oil in the first place. It's not a tent. It's not what it's made for. Avakilo de la toicha asuya, but I would have thought to say regarding a canopy, which is meant for the space underneath it. That's the purpose of a canopy. Hence, it's an oil. Now, since it has a name of oil, although in spite of the fact that it's temporary, a maloi, I would think to say that that would not remove from it the designation of oil that it has, in contrast to the more kavur diga oil of the sukkah. Kamashmon, that's what Rabbi is teaching us, time of Rabbi Yehuda. He's making mechadish to us. What is the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? That it's not based on the fact that underneath a bed is not an oil. It is an oil. And his principle was this idea that he's then attaching an application regarding tequila, that it's because you cannot have a temporary oil which would nullify the more established oil, and loishna mita, loishna kila, and therefore that's what he's then transplanting this idea regarding a kila, that there's no difference between a bed or a kila. They're both considered temporary in relation to the sukkah, which is more kavua, and that's why it's going to be kosher, even if it's higher than 10 tefachim, and even if it has a roof, because ultimately it's still temporary, and something temporary will not nullify the kviyas of the sukkah that one is sleeping in, and therefore he argues on the halacha of Shmuel. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding schach pasal. Now, the Mishnah tells us that hidlo les ha-gefen, if one lifts up and heaves up on top of the sukkah, grapevines or vesadlas and gourds, vesakisais and ivy. Now, what these things all have in common is that they're being thrown up on top, and they're these long stringy types of vines. Vesichich al gaba, and then he puts schach on top of the sukkah. Psula, the sukkah will be pasul, and the reason is because a component of the schach are these things that are attached to the ground, where the Gemara later on says in Afyud Bezam et Aleph, the pasuk tells us ba'aspucha migarn chum yukvecha, that it says at the time of when you're gathering the gurin and the yakev, which the Gemara there darshins to say that what you should make the sukkah from are these items, which are psoilis gurin v'yakev, which are things that are not attached to the ground. They're actually after the process of threshing and of pressing out the grapes. Hence, these things which are attached to the ground, these vines, will be invalid. However, but if there was more kosher schach than these non-kosher schachs which are attached to the ground, and hence the halachic concept of bittel barayv, the kosher schach will nullify the invalid schach, or even if not, but after that they were thrown up on top of the sukkah, after you used them to make the meschach, they were cut off, they were detached from the ground, we will not say that it's a problem that they were originally made in the invalid status of when they were mechuber, and therefore ksheir, they will be kosher. Now, the Mishnah tells that zehakla, this is the general rule for what it will be considered valid schach and what not, which the Gemara will explain where we know this from, and that is kol shu mekabel tuma, anything that could contract tuma, or ve'in geduli min aretz, or it doesn't grow from the ground. For example, let's say hides from animals. Now, even in the case where it would not be mekabel tuma, for example, if let's say it was not finished yet in processing it, and therefore it's not considered a kleda mekabel tuma, but however, it's not something that grows from the ground, then we cannot use that as schach. However, if it's not going to be able to contract tuma, it's not a clay kibble, it's not something that is dove mekabel tuma, and it's also something that grows from the ground, for example, the classic bamboo that people use, or other things like that, where it grows from the ground, and it's not mekabel tuma because it doesn't have a clay kibble, it's pshute kliye, it's the mesachim by, then one could go ahead and use that for schach, again, because it has the two criteria of growing from the ground, and it's not something that's mekabel tuma. Now, the Gemara tells that Yosef Rav Yosef Kameid Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna. The Yosef and Rav Yosef was sitting with a Kama, and he was saying over our Mishnah, which we said that although these items of the Geffen and Dlas and the Kisis are invalid Schach, hence it will invalidate the Sukkah. However, we said if you either have more kosher Schach or Oishe Kitzitzan, or if let's say you cut them off, then kosher, they're going to be kosher because now there are things that were, they grew from the ground, they're not mekabel tuma, and now they're not attached anymore. However, on that, Rabbi Yosef quoted Va'amar Rav, the Rav said regarding this halacha, the Mishnah, that although you're right, just cutting it off is going to be kosher, and you don't have to redo the sukkah, take them off, and then put them back on. However, Rav did say that tzorchel inaneya. However, you do have to shake them a little bit. These schachs, these vines that were attached to the ground, after you cut them off and you detach them, which you were able to then heave them up even though they were still attached, for it to be considered asiya, making the sukkah, a kosher sukkah with schach, you have to shake it a little bit, and that will be considered you're making the schach. Because if not, there's invalidation of what's called tasa b'levin asur, which as the Gemara later on will explain, it says in the pasuk sukkah tasa, that you should make sukkahs. Which means to say that when you make it, you should make it as a sukkah, which will mean that it shouldn't be made in an invalidating fashion, which is in a way that it's not fit to be a sukkah, and you're only doing something which will just be a little bit of a fixing it, which that will not make it into a kosher sukkah, which is, let's say, in the case of here, where you're just cutting it off. Now, just cutting it off, and you're not redoing the sukkah, that will be what's called min ha'aseh. You mean to say, because you put on the schach, and it wasn't kosher. So you never made the sukkah yet. Now, by cutting it, that's what's called, you're not really making the sukkah, it's what's called min ha'aseh. You're doing something that went ex post facto, when it was already done, then you're just doing something which will then validate it. But you're not making the sukkah, you're just doing a halachic process of koshering it. And therefore, Rav holds that you need to shake it a little bit, which is similar to redoing the schach, by picking up each piece and then putting it back down, that will be considered tasa, you're making the schach. But just by cutting it off, is not making the schach because it was ready made. You're just cutting it off. So halachically, you're validating it, but that's what's called min ha'asei from what was already made. That's not a way of making a kosher. So it has to be tasa. Now that was halacha Rav Yosef was saying over in the name of Rav in front of Rav Huna. So I'm like, Rav Huna said to Rav Yosef, ha, this halacha that you just said over, Shmuel Amra. It wasn't Rav that said it, it was Shmuel that said it. So Adrina Rav Yosef la'ape. So Rav Yosef turned his face away in anger. V'amalei, and he told to Rav Huna, Atu kamina lach dule Amr Shmuel. Did I say Shmuel never said it? Amr Rav, Amr Shmuel. So fine, you tell me Shmuel said it, fine, but Rav said it and Shmuel said it. So I'm like, Rav Huna says, no, halacha kamina lach, this is what I was telling you. The Shmuel Amr v'loi Rav. What I'm telling you is that, yes, Shmuel says the halacha you just said, but not Rav who you were saying over in his name. Because actually, the Rav achshur machshur. Rav holds that this sukkah would be kosher without shaking the schach, because he holds just by cutting the schach off from where it was attached to the ground, that would be considered its asiya. That would be tasa. That would be making the schach. Now, what would be then the validating factor of what's called tasa v'loi min ha'asei, if this is considered not min ha'asei, but rather that you're making it, so will be considered by default, by redoing it, but not doing it, that will be considered from what was already made. That will be like the classic case, which the Gemara later on explains. If let's say someone has a huge pile of, but that was there from the threshing house, which these are the things you can use for the schach, which were the refuse that is left over. Now what he does is, instead of making a sukkah and then putting the schach up on top, he carves out, he digs in from one of the walls and takes out from what's inside, from the bundles of things that are kosher to be used as schach, then that sukkah is being made by itself. By taking out the inside, you're left with the outside. That's called tasa v'loi min ha'asei. But regarding this case where you're cutting, you're doing an action, you're qualifying the schach, you're making the schach, that's called tasa, that's not min ha'asei. That's what Rav would hold, not like the way you're saying, where Rav would hold, that's Shmuel's halacha, that you have to pick up each piece to be considered tasa. And I'll prove it to you, ki had Rav Amram Chasida, like we have this story with Rav Amram Chasida, that Ramat Chelta, he put on, which literally means he put on tzitzis, the little definition is tchelis, which is one of the types of strings, the blue string that's on the tzitzis, one of the strings have to be blue, but the idea is that he put on tzitzis, le presuma de inchi basi, for the talis, for the garment, of the four-cornered garment of his wife. Now, he held that nighttime is a time of wearing tzitzis, because the pasuk of Re'isim Oisei, which is a machlokes, he held that means to exclude the garment of a blind person. Although it says that you should see the tzitzis, it means to say, in contrast to a blind person, he's exempt. But however, one would be required to wear tzitzis even at nighttime, because although it says to see it, it doesn't mean that nighttime when you can't see it, that you don't have to, means in contrast to a blind person. Hence, it's what's called a mitzvah sasei shaloyas mangarama. It's not a time-bound mitzvah, because you have the chiv of tzitzis, whether by day or a night, according to his opinion. Hence, he held that his wife was obligated to mitzvah tzitzis, as all mitzvah sasei shaloyas mangarama. So therefore, tala'an, he was putting on tzitzis on his wife's garment. Now, he hung up the tzitzis on the corner of the garment. But the way he did it was as follows. He took one string and he folded it over four times. Now, this folded over string, he then stuck into the hole in the corner of the garment. Again, still being one string, which you want to make four different strings, which when folded over, there are eight strings hanging down. But he didn't yet detach them. He just folded them over. Hence, he had these four strings. Then folding it over, there's eight strings. Now, generally, the way you're supposed to do it is, after folding it over, you could take this one large string, but then you cut off the tips, which they come into four strings, and then by doubling over, there's going to be eight. Rav Amram forgot. He didn't cut off the tips where they were folded over to then make them into separate strings until he had already made all the knots and all the things of making the strings of the tzitzis on the corner of the garment. Hence, he did it in a psul way, in an invalidating way, because they were still one string. They weren't four strings doubled over into eight. So, us the coming to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. So, he came to ask a shayla, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, what should I do? So, Amalei, he said to him, this is what Rav said. No problem, just cut off the tips, and they're kosher. By cutting off the tips where they're rounded over because they're doubled over, it'll make it into four strings doubled over into eight, and that will be kosher. So this is what the Gemara says. Rav Huna is telling to Rav Yosef, Alma psikasin zuyasi yasin. So you see that just the cutting off the tips, you're not reinserting the tzitzis strings four together and making them then eight. Just by cutting off the tips, that's considered making the tzitzis as if you're putting them in now. So therefore the same thing you would say regarding the halachas of the schach. Just by cutting off where they're detached, that's like you're putting it on. That's making, that's tasa. Just like you have a chiv to make the tzitzis, you have a chiv to make the schach. Just cutting them off is the making, like Rav says over there. And therefore, that's why I told you, it's Shmuel that says it, not Rav, because Rav would hold, you don't have to shake it. Just cutting them off from where they're detached would be considered tasa sukkis. Now, that was the discussion, the machlekes between Rav Yosef and Rav Huna regarding if Rav would agree to this halacha or not. However, everyone agrees that Shmuel would hold that you have to shake each one to be qualified as tasa. Now, the Gemara asks, is it really true? Does Shmuel really hold that just cutting it off where they're from where they were attached is not considered the making of the schach? Hence, you would still have to shake each piece? But we learned a similar halacha of Shmuel regarding halachas of tzitzis, which we would try to say the same comparison that we said for Rav. And that is, Shmuel said, if let's say someone did two corners of the garment at one time, now what he did was, is he took the one string that was doubled over four times in the length, very long, the measurement of what would be needed for tzitzis of two corners. And then he went into the hole on one corner, threaded it through the hole of the other corner of the garment until it went all the way around to the other end, where then they met on the other end. Then the achakach pasag rashi chutin shalem. Then he cut off the edges of the strings, which means to say in the middle, to then now once it's going to separate, it'll be four tzitzis doubled over into eight on one side and four doubled over to eight on the other side. Avetchmul said ksherin, they're going to be kosher. Now the Gemara says, my love, wouldn't it make sense to say, as the Gemara will shortly explain why we're assuming like this, Shekaisher, which means to say that first he knotted it, he made all the tzitzis strings, he went around all the times you have to do it, make all the knots, v'ach kach paisig, and then he went and he cut it off in the middle. Hence they become two different tzitzis strings for the corners, and that's in spite of the fact that it was made invalidating way, because he made all these knots and all these strings when there was still one thread folded over four times, then doubled through the two different corners, and yet still he holds it's going to be kosher. Now, obviously, it's because he holds the same principle of kitzisasin zuhi asiyasin. Just cutting it is like I made it right now. So how could we say that Shmuel holds that that won't be enough, and you have to then shake each schach, when we see the corollary by the halachas of tzitzis that he holds enough just to cut it, and that is the making? Nothing more says lie. That's not true. It's actually shepesik v'achakach kosher. He first cut the strings, now they were separate, and then he knotted them. And therefore, that's the making of the tzitzis, which is necessary to be making, and that he actually made, not in this backhanded way of what would be considered min ha'asoy if you first made the knots. Well, that the Gemara asks, as we had assumed, paisik v'achakach kosher ma'lememra. If the case is talking about that he first cut them, he doubled them over four times, then threaded it through the two corners, then he cut it, and only then did he make the knots. So what's the chiddush? Of course, that the main making of the tzitzis is when you knot it, when you make that kesher elyon, when you're making the knot, when you're doing all the things of the tzitzis. Why would I think it's a problem when you're threading it through that it was still attached to say that it's going to be kosher? Now the Gemara says, Ma'ad tema, what would I thought to say? We continue on Tamid Beis, and that's why we needed this chiddush to say this halacha of Shmuel, that be'inon kenaf b'shas psil. At the time when you're threading it through, that you're hanging on the strings, you need to have one corner, not two corners, because it says, the pasuk says, that on the corner is where you should thread it, not two corners. You should have tzitzis on each corner. Hence, in this case, where you're threading it through two corners at one time, I would think that that would be possible. And therefore here, where you don't have the veleka, therefore I would say that would be possible. K'mashmon, that was the chiddush of Shmuel, that, yes, you're right. The tasa part, which is making the knots, was done after, because or else it would be min ha'asad, like Shmuel says regarding the halachas of sukkah. But the chiddush is regarding the threading. I would think it has to be one corner, not two corners. That's the chiddush. I know that's not a problem. As long as when you're knotting it, it's not more than one corner. It's going to be kosher. It doesn't have to be the psil on one corner when you're actually threading it through. Now, the Gemara asks Meisvei. The Gemara asks on Rav's halacha, according to Rav Huna's version, where Rav held that kitzisasan zuhi asiyasan, just cutting them off from where they're attached, that would be considered making the schach from the following brisa. It says, Tala'an, that if someone hung the tzitzis, v'lo'i pasuk rashi chutin shalem, but he didn't cut the corners, as we said, where it's folded over one string, and he didn't cut them yet, then Pesulin is going to be invalid. Now, my lav, what the Chiddush of the Braisa is Pesulin Le'olam, is that they're going to be invalid forever, even if later he cuts them off into two, after they were knotted, it's not going to help, because it was done in a way of Mina Asa, only by cutting it off, that retroactively they're then going to be halachically valid. The Tziyufta Rav Nibban refutes Rav, who he holds that that is considered asiyas, and like they hold it by sukkah, so too by tzitzis, that just cutting it, well then that would be considered like you did it in a kosher way. The Amachar Rav, Rav said, no, my pesulin, what does the Braisa mean that say that such a case of tzitzis will be invalid? It's pesulin, ashi yifziku. It only means to say that it will be invalid up until that you cut off the edges. That's not considered separate strings. But if you do cut it, that cutting is like making the tzitzis, and that would be kosher. However, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, as we mentioned before, that he argues on this halacha of kitzisas and zuasiyasim, that pesulin la'olam, it would be invalid always in such a case, because just cutting off the corners of where they're attached would not make it into the separate strings. It would be min asay, and it wouldn't be making the tzitzis. V'chinam alevi, so to Levi says, pesulin la'olam, it would be invalid forever. V'chinam Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, so to Rav Masna said over in the name of Shmuel, that pesulin la'olam would be invalid forever. Now, Ikadami, the others say a different version of Amr of Masna. Rav Masna said, actually, but the Dihaba Uvdi says, I had a story with myself. I came in front of the Mar Shmuel with such a story where I forgot to cut it off the edges, and there was still one string threaded over four times, doubled over into eight. And I asked Shmuel, and they told me, it's invalid forever, because even if you'd cut it now and it would look like regular tzitzis, that would be min ha'asay, wouldn't be making the tzitzis, and hence that would be invalid, again, like Shmuel, not like Rav. Now the Gemara continues asking Meisvei. The Gemara asks the following brisa on Rav. It says Talon, if you hang on the tzitzis va'achakach pasak rashi chudin shalehen, and then you go ahead and you cut off the edges of the threads, that then pesulin is going to be pasul. So this clearly contradicts Rav, who holds that that will be kosher because the cutting off would be considered tasa, would be considered making it. That's one question on Rav. Another question of Rav is that we learned regarding halachas of sukkah in the following brisa, which talks about a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Tazayin, pasuk Yud Gimel, that says that chagas sukkah is tasalacha, that the yamta of sukkah you should make for you. Now, the Gemara learns that up regarding to the sukkah itself, that the sukkah should be tasa, it should be made, and this is what we had mentioned this before, and it shouldn't be from what was made. In other words, it shouldn't be made by itself, by doing something else, which then will then be a causation for it to be retroactively an object of a kosher sukkah. Rather, it should be actively made. Mikan Amru, from here they said the following halacha. Hidla las agefen, if you raised up and you threw up on top of the sukkah a grapevine or besadlas or the gourd, besakisos, or an ivy, besichach al gabon, and then you put schach on that, pesul, that's going to be pasul. Now, regarding this halacha, the Gemara asks, hechidami, what is the case of this brisa that's telling us that this case of putting up the vines will be possible because of tasa v'lo min ha'asay? Ilem b'shloi katzan, if it's someone that it was never cut off, it's still attached to the ground, so my iri mishum tasa v'lo min ha'asay. Why would I be saying that it's invalid because that it wasn't made, but rather it was by default, by doing something else, which then caused it to be made? Typically, the mechumbarin, what do you mean? Just it's going to be possible because they're attached to the ground. And as the Gemara will later teach us, it has to be something that's not attached to the ground. Ela b'shakatsa, must be that it's talking about that it was later detached from the ground. Yet v'katani b'sula, and still it tells us that it's going to be invalid. V'shma menah, so obviously you could infer from this b'raisa, d'loyam rin the kitzitzasan du'asiyasan, we could learn that the cutting off will not be its making, but you have to Rav, and that refutes Rav, who holds that no, even though that's possible, if you cut it off, just cutting it off will be enough, you don't have to pick up the pieces. Here it says clearly that that will not be kosher. So amalcha Rav says no, that this b'raisa is not a contradiction to me, because Chacham Ha'iskin, the b'raisa is talking about a specific type of case. The Shalfinu Shalufe, we're talking about that it was just basically pulled off this ivy or whatever it is, this flax that's from the tree, until it was loosened off, so it's not attached anymore, but D'loy Minkura Sididu, it's not recognizable the action that you're taking of making it detached. Now, since that ketzitza is not so recognizable, because it's still laying right there next to the tree where it always was when it grew, that's not going to be considered a valid asiya. So although Rav holds, and he will say that even the Raisa will agree, that ketzitzas and zudasiyas, and the action of the cutting off, the detaching, is a making, would be validating of the sukkah, of the vines, here it's talking about a special case, the Raisa, where it will be possible, because since it's still laying there, all you did was you pulled it and pulled it till it just got detached, but since it still looks like it's attached, that will not be a full-fledged asiya to say that you're making the schach, although halachically it should be valid, that will not be an asiya, and hence they will be considered mina asiy, and even Rav would agree that that would be possible. However, the Gemara does say, mikamakam, however, the first question we had, of Taloin v'achkach pasik, from the Brisa which says that if the tzitzis were hung, and only later they were detached, that there the Brisa says is going to be possible, that's a kashal Rav, who said that such a case it would be kosher, because he holds just the detaching of the sukkah, and so too by the case of tzitzis, of the edges, by just cutting it, and then it makes it into the separate strings, that that's considered nasiya. Why would the Brisa there say that it's possible, even though you clearly went and afterwards detached it? Nothing more says kasha. That definitely is a difficulty, according to Rav's opinion, from that Brisa that says that it will be possible. Now the Gemara has concluded this discussion between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, let's say this machlokes, at least the way Rav Huna defined it as a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, if we say that kitzisasan, zuasiyasan, is just the action of detaching the object, both in regards to tzitzis and the sukkah, is that considered the making? Or would that be considered not making, just minha asay? Let's say that's a machlokes tanoi. As the Brisa says, Ava v'liktan, if someone violated the Issa d'Rabbanan, and he plucked off, which in the context of this halacha is in regards to the berries of the hadassim, of the myrtles which are used for one of the dalet minim of the lulav and esrog, which the Mishnah later on tells us in the Amud Beis, that if there are more berries than the leaves of the hadas, then that will be an invalid hadas. Because that's what's considered speckled, spotted, because it has so much of this other berries there on the hadassim. And that's not considered hadar, it's not beauty which is required by the dalet minim. However, if one will then minimize them by pluck off the berries, that would be kosher. However, the Gemara tells us that one cannot pluck them off and minimize the berries on Yom Tov, because that's what's considered for the Isra of Mesakin Mana. It's fixing an object, which is forbidden, to make something that's invalid as kosher. And therefore, the Brisa tells us that if someone violated this Isra Drabbanan of not plucking off the berries on Yom Tov, and he plucked it off, so the Brisa tells us that puzzle, that will be invalid. The Reb Shimon Bar Yehuda Tzadik, he says that will be a pasul hadas to be used on Sukkos, even though now it's not speckled anymore, it's not spotted because you took off the berries. V'chom Achshim, Reb Chaim say that after the fact will be a kasher hadas to be used with the dal minim. Now, so the Gemara explains that Savrua, the Rabbanan that were in the Beis Medrash, they thought to explain that regarding this machloikis, if likitasan, the plucking off, which is the equivalent of all these cases of the tzitzis that were told about, and of the schach, of kitzitzasan, zuhi asayasan, and hence the same thing would be regarding the plucking, if that would be considered the making, they thought as follows, that regarding the ground rules, that the kuliyama, that everybody, meaning these two different opinions of the Tanaim that we're bringing down, of Reb Shimon Bar Yehuda Tzadik and Chacham, that they both agreed, A, that lulav tzarech agid, that a lulav needs to be bundled together, that is, you have to take the three minim of the lulav, the arav, and the hadas, and you have to tie them together, hence they qualify for what would be necessary of being called an asiyah of a making, because you have to bind them together, hence you're binding the three kosher siman together, and if you after the fact make one of them kosher, that would be considered minha asay. And also they held the alfin and lulav mesukkah, that both of them agreed that you learn up the halachas of lulav from sukkah through a binyan av, which is the chsiv gab sukkah. It says regarding the halachas of sukkah, tasa, that you should make the sukkah v'loy minha asay, not from something that was made after the fact. And therefore, just like we find by sukkah, that there's an action that's required of making the schach, and the Torah was particular regarding that it shouldn't be min ha'asay, that it was made invalid and only later halachically validated, so too a lulav has the same halacha of tasa b'le min ha'asay. And therefore, if they both agree to those two components, so my lav, wouldn't it make sense to say that b'ho kamifikis, and what are they arguing about? On this principle of kitzitzasin zu gemar siyasin. Demand the machshir sav according to the chamim, they obviously held that it's kosher because arminan gabi sukkah kitzitzasin zuasiyasin, because just like by sukkah we say that detaching them is the making of the schach, which is like rav, and therefore v'gabi lulav nami amrin likitzasin zuasiyasin. So too for the lulav, although it was already bundled when the hadas was invalid, but plucking off the berries, that is the making of the tying, the binding of the kosher lulav arav and the hadas. That's the same thing as detaching of validating it by doing an action to the object. That's an asiyah. Uman the puzzle. However, Reb Shimon who held that it will be puzzle. He held, Lo yamrinan gabi sukkah kitzisas and zeyasiyas. We do not say that the cutting off of the vines will be the making of the schach, like Shmuel said. And therefore, v'gabi lulav nami lo yamrinan likitas and zeyasiyas. So too, as we said, that everyone agrees that there is a halacha vaseya for lulav, and that we learn lulav from sukkah. Therefore, there also we wouldn't say that the cutting off, the plucking off, will be considered the making, and therefore will be possible. That's the way the Gemara wants to assume that that would be the machlekes between Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzadik and the Chachamim, the machlekes of Rav and Shmuel, if you say kitzitzas and zuyas v'yasim. And the Gemara says, lie. No, not necessarily the case. The kuli amel lo yamrinan gabi sukkah kitzitzas and zuyas v'yasim. We can say that everyone agrees to Shmuel, that the cutting off is not the making. Now, v'hacha b'melef lulav misukkah k'mifliki. What they are arguing about is one of the two assumptions that we made that they both agree to. Do we learn that lulav from sukkah? The one, according to the Pinach Chacham, that they held that plucking it after it was already bound together will be kosher, they hold, lo yafina lulav misukkah. We don't learn out the halachas of lulav from sukkah, that to say that mina aseh would be an invalidating factor, and therefore it will be kosher. Uman the Pasul Sav, however, Rav Shimon held that it is invalid, holds yafina lulav misukkah. We do learn the halachic principles of lulav from sukkah, and just like by sukkah tasav lem nasis pasul, so to lulav, and therefore that will be like Shmuel says that it is mina asay by plucking it afterwards, and that's why it's pasul. But really, everyone holds like Shmuel that tasav lem nasay would be in the case of cutting it off. Just the question is, does that apply to lulav too? V'boy same over you want, you could say that they argue regarding the other assumed principle. And that is, isvir lan the lulav tzarech eged, if you're right, if everyone agreed that the lulav has to be bound together, hence it applies a principle of tasa, of making, which is the binding them together, then kuli amale pligidi yafin lulav misukkah. You're right, everyone would not argue that we do learn up the halachas of lulav from sukkah to invalidate it and to say that the plucking would not be the making of it, like Shmuel holds. But v'hacha ba kamifli, and what would they be arguing about, is mar savar, Rib Shimon holds, tzarech eged, that there has to be bound. Meaning you have to take the three different minim of the lulav and the arav and the hadas and bind them together. Hence, there is a concept of lulav of making, which is the binding. And therefore, obviously, you're going to be binding them from before Yom Tov, which already has the berries. And hence, if you're plucking the berries on Yom Tov, that would be minha asay. It would only be, you wouldn't be binding it anymore, doing the ma'isa, it would be mina asa, by plucking the berries. Umar Savar, and the other opinion, that of the Chum hold, did ain't tzarech eged, that you don't have to bind it. And that's why it's kosher, because although they agree to Shmuel, that the ketzisa, that the likita, is not be considered asiyasan, but there is no asiya by the lachas of lulav, because it doesn't have to be bound together. Ubepluk did on the Tanoi, and they're really arguing in a similar machlekes that we find by other Tanoi. The Tanoi like learned a brisa. Lulav, the first opinion holds, the Tanakama holds, bein agud, bein sha'ein agud kasher. Whether it's bound, whether it's not bound, it's going to be kasher because lulav does not need to be bound. That's like the chachamim of the previous machlekes that we mentioned. That holds, it doesn't have to be bound. Hence, there's no psul of tasa v'leben asa because there is no tasa. Rabbi Huda Omer, he says, agud kasher. Now, only if it's bound is the lulav kasher. Sha'ein agud pasul, if you don't have the three minim bound together, that will be invalid. And that's the machlekes they're arguing. Now, once the Gemara introduced this machlekes, the Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Huda, what's the reason of Rabbi Huda that he holds that it has to be bound together? Where do you find this halacha? So Yalaf Lekicha Lekicha Me'agudas Ezef. He learns out Agzeri Shava of the term of taking, which we find by the Agudas Ezef, which is the bundle of hyssop, of a type of herb that we find by the Pesach that they celebrate in Mitzrayim, where Ksiv Hasim, it says over there, Pasuk in Shemayis, where it says, a Pasuk in Perigud Beis, Pasuk of Beis, that says that, Ulekachtem agudas ezev, that they told the Jewish people you should take for yourself a bundle of ezev, this type of herb, and you should dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and then you should put it by the doorpost and on the lintel from this blood, and then you shouldn't leave your house up until the morning. Now uchsev hasim, it says over there by the halacha of the form of the dalminim of lulav, it says ulekachtem lachem b'yimrishin, you should take it for you on the first day of sukkahs. Now malahal ba'aguda, just like over there by the ezev. It said that the lakicha should be with a bundle of kan name ba'gudah. So here also when they say you should take the lulav, it also means to be bundled. And that's where Yehuda knows it's halacha, that it will only be kosher if it's bundled. Rabban, however, according to Rabbanon, lakicha malakicha lo yafinan, they don't learn that gezeir shava of comparing the lulav to the halacha of the agudas izav of Pesach Mitzrayim. Now, and the reason for this is because although it sounds logical, but it has a Gzeir Shava, a person is not allowed to learn the Gzeir Shava from his own logic. It has to be a Mesaira from his Rebbe, all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because maybe these Pesukim were not meant for this Gzeir Shava. How do you know? It has to be from Mesaira, from Moshe Misinai. And since they didn't have that, they didn't learn this Gzeir Shava, Lekich Lekich, and that's why they say it's Kasher, even if it's not bound together. Now, the Gemara asked, related to this Machlek is, Kaman Azla Hadetanya. So who is this following Braisa going like? Which one of these two opinions? The Braisa tells us that Lulav, mitzvah la'agda, there's a mitzvah to bind them together, but ve'im lo'agda kasha, but if you don't bind them together, it will be valid. Now, the Gemara asks, Ir Bihuda, if it would be like Ir Bihuda, ki lo'agda amai kasha, if it's not bound together, why would it be kasha? It says that it has to be bound, because we learn about guda guda from Ezev. And Irabanan, if it's like Rabbanan, amai mitzvah. Why is there a positive mitzvah? They don't have any gzeir shavah saying that it has to be bound. So who is this middle type of opinion that says it's a mitzvah, but it's still going to be kosher if you don't? That the Gemara says, lo'in Rabbanan. Really, the Tana of the Braisa is like the Rabbanan. And there's no mitzvah intrinsic to the halachas of lulav that has to be bound together. However, u'mishum shenamar, it's based on a different pasuk in Shemais, which is a general concept regarding to all mitzvahs, which qualifies in the context of this mitzvah of lulav as binding them together. The pasuk tells us, "Ze kelev anveu." The Jewish people said when they were crossing the Yamsuv, they said, "This is our God, and we will be anveu." Now, anveu can mean, "and we will beautify him." What does that mean? He's not a fun of the mitzvahs. You should beautify in front of him with the commandments, which means to say that your mitzvahs should be beautiful. You should make a beautiful sukkah, make a beautiful lulav, beautiful tzitzis. Hence, this is a totally different din, that of being beautifying mitzvahs. Now, to do that, separate meaning separately, it doesn't have the same presentation as binding them together. Therefore, the Chacham hold, yes, it's a mitzvah la'agdai, but not based on the principles of lekicha lekicha, not because of the halachas of lulav, but just in general because of making that beautiful. Therefore, if one doesn't do it, that's not a disqualifying factor in the essential mitzvah of lulav, and that's why it's going to be kosher, but there's still a mitzvah ketchila of binding them together of isno lefana b'mitzvahs. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, Zehaklal, this is the general rule. You want to know what's kasher v'schach and what not? Kaldavish mekabel tumah v'chula, whatever could contract tumah, or if it doesn't grow from the ground, will be possible. And the opposite is true, that if it's not mekabel tumah and it grows from the ground, that is what's valid as kosher schach. So the Gemara says, Menonimili, where do we know this halacha from to have these two criteria? So Amar Shlokesh, he says, Amar Kred, there's a pasuk in Bereishis that says as follows. It says that the aid yalam in the aretz, that the mist, the cloud, will rise up from the ground and it will give to drink the face of the earth. And this is by Maisa Bereishis, when Hashem made the world, which was talking about this the coming together of the creation. That's how the world will run. Will the mist will go up, create clouds, and then will water the ground. Now on that, the Gemara learns the following idea. Ma'ed davishin mekabel tumah. The cloud has two components. First of all, it's not mekabel tumah. The reason why it's not mekabel tumah is because we only find being able to contract tumah by vessels, food items, beverages, or people, and this is not one of any of these items. So it's not mekabel tumah. And moreover, megedulim in the arts. The clouds grow from the ground, and that's the pasuk we just brought down, because it's yalam in the arts. It emanates from the ground. Therefore, af sukkah. So therefore, we make the following comparison to sukkah too. The davish in mekabel tumah, it has to be something that does not contract tumah. And we could do the menorah, it grows from the ground. Now the Gemara asks on this. So hanichal amando amad, this is very well according to the one who says that the sukkos that the pasuk says that the Jewish people dwelled in the midbar, which is our sukkahs are a memory for that, are ananiya kavod hayu. They were clouds of glory. And therefore, yes, they sat in clouds, so their sukkahs were clouds, so we can learn that from clouds what our sukkah should be like, just like clouds are not mekabel tumah, they grow from the ground, so too our sukkah should be like that. But according to the other opinion that holds that they actually sat in regular huts, not clouds of glory, and because it was hot when they were resting in the desert, which is very hot, so they had huts, so we are supposed to remember that. So according to those opinions, Michael Lemaimah, what are you going to say? Who would tell us that our sukkah should not be covered with kalim or garments or hides, which are things that are mekabel tumah? Why should we think that wouldn't be valid as roofs, which are similar to probably the sukkahs that they used when they were in the midbar too? The town like Linda Bryce said, this machlekes. It's a pasuk in Vayikra that says, "Kipa sukkos hishavti es b'nei Yisrael," that I want you to know for future generations, because in huts I had your forefathers sit in the desert. Now, what were these sukkahs that we're supposed to be recalling, l'man yedu, when we sit in our sukkahs? So the first opinion says, Ananai covered how you did Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar says, they were clouds of glory. Rebbe Kiva, I mean, he says, sukkahs mamash aslam. No, they were huts, regular huts that people would make. That's what they sat in the desert. Now, ha'nichl Rebbe Elazar. So according to Rebbe Elazar, it makes sense where we would know these two criteria of, like by clouds, that it's not makabel tumah and it comes from the ground. According to Bekiva, where would you know? Why would I think to say that their huts didn't have things, their makabel tumah as their schach, as their roof, covering what they were sitting in? So Kiyasar of Dima Rabbi Yechanan, it says, Amar Kra, from a different pasuk. Pasuk in Devarim, that says, Chag ha-sukkah is tas lecha. The yantah of sukkahs you should make for you, which we're learning out, that means to say, Makash sukkah lechagiga. We're comparing the sukkah that you're making for you to chag, to lechagiga, to the carbon chagiga, which a carbon chagiga is a carbon that's brought every single yantah, but the Gemara is utilizing it for what it is, which is an animal that's brought as a carbon. And therefore, ma chagiga davish in makabel tumah, just like a carbon chagiga is something that cannot contract tumah because it's a live animal. A live animal does not become tameh. The gedulim in the aretz, it also grows from the ground. Av sukkah, so to sukkah has to be davish in makabel tumah, something that does not contract tumah. The gedulim in the aretz, and it grows from the ground. Now, Rabbi Yechanan qualifies an animal as a gedulim karka, as growing from the ground. Now, the reason is because obviously animals do not grow from the ground, but they do because they get nourished from the ground. They're eating the grass that's on the ground. But that's in contrast to fish or salt or mushrooms and truffles, which they have no growth whatsoever from the ground. They are the things that would be excluded from the halacha of being used as schach. Similarly, you find regarding the halachas of Meiser, which is the same idea that we call behemoth geduli karka, as the pasuk says in Devarim Yudalad, that you have to use your money of Meiser, sheni money, for whatever your heart desires, which the Gemara there explains, just like there it's something, a produce from a produce, and it also grows from the ground, which we say you could buy meat with it, because on some level, animals are considered geduli karka, they grow from the ground, and therefore, those are the things that one would have to use as to grow from the ground, and also something that's not makabel tumah. Now, however, as Rashi tells us, that since ultimately the Gemara does not stay with this limud of Rabbi Yechanan, because actually the Gemara will ask, as we'll quote shortly, that if we were learning from comparing chag to sukkah, it's a karma chagiga, which is an animal to sukkah, which an animal has that it grows from the ground, and it's not makabel tumah, then you should say that just like the karma chagiga is an animal, you should have to cover your sukkah with an animal, and we don't cover our sukkahs with an animal. Rather, the Gemara will ultimately learn it from a different pasuk of ba'asbacha migarnchum yikvecha. Hence, we will not rely on this qualification of animals as something that grows from the ground, because halachically we do go with these criteria from a different pasuk, from Asbacha Megarnchem Yekvecha, but we go with that it has to be something that's not makabel tumah, which a live animal is not, and also that grows from the ground, which it seems like Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it also grows from the ground. That will not be valid for the sukkah using the hides of animals, because although it's called Gidulei Ha'aretz, however, it's not called Gidulim Min Ha'aretz. So although it nourishes from the ground, however, it's not actually something that grows from the ground, rather only something that actually sprouts from the ground. Those are things that would be kosher for the schach, but not animals itself. Which will continue on top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara concludes with a question on this source for the halacha, and that is, ima chagiga balechayim, if we're comparing sukkahs to chag, and to say just like a karma chagiga, and that's so too the criteria would be for sukkahs, but if that's the case, that just like a karma chagiga is a live animal, av sukkah nami balechayim, so then we would have to say that the sukkah should have to be covered with living animals, and our sukkahs would look like animals on top of our with live animals about our sukkah, and that's not the case. That's not the halacha that we know. Hence, this cannot be the source. So, although we have a source, the one opinion, that who says that the sukkahs that they dwelled in the Midbar were clouds, hence from there we could learn out that just like clouds are not makabel tumah and they grow from the ground, so too our schach. But according to the other opinion, we still don't have a source that says they actually dwelled in regular sukkahs. How do we know that it wasn't things that were not makabel tumah?